This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Bittersweet Symphony. Is this about the Cardinals? Because I know there's been a lot of bitter in the month of May. Not much sweet, to be honest.
The sweet was April.
There we go. Hollywood Casino Press Box, 590 The Fan, 590thefan.com. Charlie Marlowe, Brian Hoffman, Lucas Jones on the board. Filling in for Frank as he's making his way back from Boston and the biggest win in Blues franchise history, winning 3-2 last night over the Bruins. In overtime in Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final, we're going to switch it up and talk about something not so positive, unfortunately. That's the St. Louis Cardinals, but we always love chatting with the commish. Rick Hummel from the Post-Dispatch, he joins us now on the phone line. Commish, how you doing?
I'm fine, Charlie. How are you?
Doing great here. Unlike the Cardinals, unfortunately, what have you seen over this last month? I know they won that first game in the month of May, and that was part of a five-game winning streak. They were 20-10. They had the best record in all of baseball, and since then, 6 wins and 18 losses. Did you see anything like this coming?
No. I wasn't sure 20-10 was coming either, though. But they have – the only thing the players can relate to on this is that they haven't been playing like this all season long. They've been playing like this for a month. They can relate to the fact they did have one good month with the same players. So they've had one bad month with the same players. That isn't like they've been bad all the way along. That doesn't excuse it, but does give them a reference point that, yes, they can be that good or close to it if they pick up on all sides of the ball. Now, you ask me what happened. The starting pitching hasn't been very good. That's the main thing. But almost equal to that is the inconsistent offense. There's not too many guys that are tearing it up right now offensively. In fact, I can't think of anybody other than Wieters, who had one good game. I mean, Fowler hasn't had a hit since he got promoted to the leadoff spot. No hits in 5 games. DeJong had his first hit in a long time yesterday. Martinez had his first hit in a long time yesterday. Carpenter had a couple games where he broke out, and now he's hitting .214. Goldschmidt hitting .271. He's been pretty consistent with his average lately, but not much pop, one home run. Ozuna's driving in runs, hitting home runs, but still hitting in the .230s, so it's kind of a group effort there. Wong hitting .221. Did I leave anybody out? And I don't think so.
No, it's all just kind of...
A lot of 200s
there. A lot of 200s, a lot of depressing numbers all around. Commission, I'm curious, because his team entered the season with pretty high expectations. Certainly, they expected to compete for the division title. They're now a game out of last place. Can you remember... So you've been watching Cardinal baseball for a while. Can you remember a stretch like this or a month like this for a team that had pretty high postseason expectations?
Well, you have to go back, I guess, to, I don't know if it'd be a whole month. You go back to 2006 when they had a World Series champion. They kind of surprisingly took that route. They didn't. Nobody figured that was going to happen from the end of September on, but they had 2 8-game losing streaks and 1 of 7 that year. That's 23 games right off the bat that they lost. And they haven't even had 8-game losing streaks. So that's the one I can relate to. And that was a good club. They had a lot of injuries. You know, Edmonds was hurt and Eckstein was hurt for a while. And they got all those guys back by the postseason. Then they had their good club again. So that's the reference point I would go with team-wise. For a whole month, I haven't seen anything quite as bad, no. With the talent that they have, and you look at their offense, who would you go out and acquire that you think is a whole lot better than what you have? There's not that much out there to get that's better than what they already have.
Yeah, Commission, and earlier you mentioned the starting rotation. I'm just wondering how you think the Cardinals can or will fix the rotation. Obviously, Michael Wacha comes out of the starting rotation, and then in the bullpen last night was just ugly. One inning allows 3 homers and 6 earned runs, but Henesis Cabrera, I don't think anybody thought he would be necessarily the long-term option, but you give a kid a shot, and 3 2/3, allowed 5 runs, and 3 of them earned. So that starting rotation ERA that entering last night was 12th in the National League at basically 4.6, got even worse. So you've already taken Wacha out, Adam Wainwright the other day, I mean, he had 10 strikeouts but allowed 8 hits and 4 runs, and his ERA is approaching 5. That's kind of a difficult situation with who is a legendary-type Cardinals player. But right now, if you had to move somebody else out of the rotation, it'd probably be Adam Wainwright, just numbers-wise. How do you think the Cardinals fix the rotation?
Well, I would leave Wainwright in there, first of all. He was very impressive, I thought, the other night. There was a 4 runs. Some of the hits weren't exactly rockets, but 4 runs and 6 innings for the rotation these days is actually pretty good. But 10 strikeouts and no walks was very impressive. Reyes is going to be in the rotation in a couple weeks probably if he can show he can swing the bat and field his position with his left hand that he broke in a peak about a month ago. So he'll be in there. Cabrera, I like the way he threw last night. He threw hard, and if Fowler catches that ball, that's a no-run first inning, and he might be in there a little bit longer. Hudson's been pitching well lately. Flaherty's been pitching well lately. Michaelis has been pitching well for the most part lately, and Wainwright's been all right. That means that you might still need some more help from Memphis. Gomber was ready to come up instead of Cabrera, but he had a slight arm injury. He should be up not too long from now. Ponce de Leon was good earlier on. They're going to go internally first. If Reyes, Ponce de Leon, Gomber, Cabrera doesn't give them one or two starting options, they'll have to go get one somewhere else. But they have enough options to try internally right now.
And, Commissioner, I'm wondering, maybe I'm the only person that I probably tweet too much about this, but I'm just wondering, John Gant has been so good in the bullpen, but he was also darn good last year in 19 starts. And as you're searching for at least one and maybe two starters, I'm wondering, it seems like you could stretch that guy out without sending him back down to Memphis. I'm wondering sometimes why he isn't more of an option. Look, I know he's great in the bullpen, but look at this last month. How many times have the Cardinals actually handed a lead over to the bullpen to be able to utilize a guy like John Gant?
Well, that's a good question. I think it would take, since he wasn't really conditioned that way from the latter part of spring training till now, it would take a couple, 3 weeks, maybe longer to do that. You wouldn't send him out to do it, but you'd have to pitch him in spots where he'd pitch 2 innings and then 3 innings and 4 innings and 5 innings. The time you got him stretched out like that, you should have Reyes ready. So I don't know that that would be an option just yet. Now, Reyes doesn't come through, and they might have to look at that because Gant was a good starter for him last year, but he's been so really good where he was, where he is. I'd rather see Carlos Martinez stretched out because he's been a starter here and a good one. And that's going to be up to them and him to think his arm's strong enough to do that. But that's the way I would go ultimately.
Kamish, one of the players really having a rough time of it now is Paul DeJong, one for his last 22 at the plate. At some point during that stretch, he was hit, I think, on the hand or towards the wrist against maybe the Royals. Do you think maybe it's just a matter of him maybe needing a day off or two just to try to get right again?
Bart, it's hard to take him out when you're losing, but you might be right. I don't know if his hands bother him that much, but he was not probably a 320 hitter. He's probably more of a 290 hitter where he is now. That's a nice average to fall back on when you're 1-for-22 and still be hitting 290. Most of those guys don't have the luxury of saying that. But I think he's all right. But I wouldn't mind giving him a day off, but the manager feels better about giving guys, you know, premier guys days off when they're winning, not when they're losing.
We're talking with Commish Rick Hummel from the Post-Dispatch. And, Rick, I'm wondering, and obviously I asked this question coming off a real down period for the Cardinals as they're 6-18 in their last 24 games. But how do you feel, not just this year, but the last 3 years, just overall, having not made the playoffs since 2015, about the Cardinals and how they do business and trade-wise and free agency hasn't been great with some guys the last 3-4 years. Do you feel like the Cardinals have to switch up the way they do business? Because I'm just thinking, if you go 4 years without making the playoffs, you really kind of become an afterthought in baseball in terms of being a contender.
Well, the free agent part of this, they've had a real hard time with relief pitching. That's why they were reluctant to get too involved in Kimbrel and some other guys like that last year. They thought Miller had something to offer, and they only had to give him 2 years. And he's been not very good, but he's not hurt, so there's reason to suspect he's going to get better. But the Gregerson, Holland, Cecil, those were bad ones. Those were bad signings. Leak was a bad free agent signing as a pitcher. However, they did trade for Goldschmidt, and he, in essence, was a free agent signing because they've already signed him for the future. So I think we go back to December when they had signed Goldschmidt and Miller. People were pretty happy about that then. And Goldschmidt's going to be here for 5-6 years. You better get used to him. He's not going anywhere. And Miller will get better, but their relief pitching free agent ventures have been disastrous, and that's why they were so reluctant to get involved in that even last year.
Commission, thank you for your time. Hopefully next week it's a cheerier Cardinals conversation. Not so
How
much.
Could it not be?
It'll be June. They'll leave all this behind in May, and June will be better. Thank you for your time, sir.
You bet, guys.
All right, thanks. That's the commissioner, Rick Hummel from the Post-Dispatch. Join us here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box.
He's brought to you by Lakeside Roofing, Charlie. They were established in 1972, and they have a reputation of excellence in the roofing industry. Their philosophy is focused around a relentless commitment to customer service, quality products, and outstanding workmanship. Lakeside's reputation is one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive prices. They feature the finest quality roofing materials and provide expert installation. Call the professionals at Lakeside Roofing for your home or business. If you're in Illinois, 618-344-2800. But if you're in Missouri, 314-241-5253. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com. Chuck, I'm going to start a business, and I'm going to have two numbers. I'm going to have the Missouri number and then the Missouri number. And
the Mike Alden number?
Yeah, and then there we go. That's the number you're supposed to call.
So it's important, I think, when we have all these hot takes on the radio, social media, it's important to admit when you're wrong. And it's also hard to do that, though, because, again, our takes are so agenda-driven. But as I was so high on the Cardinals' overall depth of starting pitching entering this season, and I'm finding a tweet I threw out there back in, August? And the 10 names I wrote down, Carlos Martinez, Jack Flaherty, Miles Michaelis, Alex Reyes, Michael Wacha, Austin Gomber, Dakota Hudson. Now, this is before the trade, so Luke Weaver was in there. Ponce de Leon, John Gant, and you also have Adam Wainwright. My thought was, now obviously there were a lot of question marks with a lot of those guys for different reasons, right? Whether it be age, injury, coming off injury, performance. But man, you go down that list now and think of how many of those names, basically your concern has already come to the forefront. Carlos Martinez hasn't made a start all year. Flaherty you're okay with, right?
Yeah.
And I think he's trending well.
He's trending well, and this is just, it's awkward development for starters a lot of the time.
Right.
And that's what's happening.
Miles Michaelis, I'm okay with him. He's not going anywhere. He had the one outing that was horrible that kind of skewed the numbers a little bit. He was also trending pretty well for five, six starts.
I still think he's kind of miscast as your number one. I think that's a problem. I don't think he's a number one starter, but he'll be fine.
That's fair. Don't you think, though, I mean, even entering the year, I understand that Miles Michaelis got the contract, but if you had to say who's your number one, I mean, wasn't it Flaherty? I mean, stuff-wise.
Yeah, yes.
Miles Michaelis is a nice pitcher, innings eater, and last year, clearly, he was your ace. He goes 18-4, sub-3 ERA. He throws 200 innings. I just don't know if we're ever going to see numbers like that again. But you hope that he's healthy and can give you 180-plus innings and be a number two, number three type starter. But keep on going down the line. Alex Reyes, we know what's happened there. Hopefully they get him back. Michael Wacha, underperformance, out of the rotation. Gomber, hurt. Dakota Hudson. Again, I think I'm okay with his development as well. It hasn't been great. He's giving you a chance to win, and it would not surprise me if we see him getting better. I know his FIP numbers are pretty high compared to his ERA, but still, you got to remember, this is his first year as a starter in the big leagues. And look, you're going to go through some bumps and bruises, and it's tough, though, when you're with a team that's desperate to make the playoffs, to try to kind of go through those. I mean, look at Adam Wainwright, his first year as a starter back in 2007. It wasn't with a team, even though they're coming off the World Series, that was really contending. You know what I'm saying? You can throw him out there and let him kind of work through things. Dakota Hudson is doing that right now, but you're also expecting to make the playoffs.
You said you expect to make the playoffs.
Right.
You said all in this offseason.
And so continuing down the line, Daniel Ponce de Leon gave you one really nice outing when he came up for a spot start. John Gant has been unbelievable in the bullpen. And then Adam Wainwright. And Kamish said, you know, I wouldn't take him out. And I agree with that right now. And Adam Wainwright, he was good when you look at 10 strikeouts, no walks. And it was kind of a weird game the other day because the rain was terrible. It really was. I mean, there were times where they shouldn't have been playing that baseball game. But overall, you have to look at the body of work, and Adam Wainwright's ERA is approaching 5. And, you know, when we say, oh, that was a good outing for Adam Wainwright, and he still allowed 8 hits and 4 earned runs, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the man is 37 years old. We all love Adam Wainwright. But again, if you had to, just based on numbers, take out another person in the rotation, it would be Adam Wainwright.
Yes, it would be.
That's just the truth right now.
I think the issue is, and I understand that you preach depth, and some of it has been removed.
It's gone now.
It's gone
now. 100%
yeah, it's 100% gone. In part for circumstances out of your control. Alex Reyes, I think, is an example of that. To a degree, so is Carlos, but I'm not sure what their expectations were for him as a starter, because even his role was very much in limbo all of winter about what he would be. You can't be surprised about Waka. I think that was a huge wild card entering this season, and unfortunately it's gone in the exact opposite direction of what you would have hoped to have gone. What's still really confusing me is, you know, I know his stuff isn't great, and he isn't a top-rated prospect. And, Chuck, you've mentioned it before. It seems like you always have a fighter's chance when Ponce de Leon has been on the mound in the major league level. It's never been pretty. It's never been 7 innings, 2 hits, and 8 strikeouts. It's always just been a couple. He's worked in and out of trouble, but he's always given you a chance.
Better than
a chance.
Better than these other guys.
Yes, and I'm sorry, you've got a month without winning consecutive games. So eventually just pitch the guys who are giving you a chance to win. Stop pitching who's given you postseason success before, or who has the bigger contract, or anything related to that.
Just contracts and history.
Yes.
Scholarship type.
Yes.
Stuff.
So just start plugging in guys in the rotation who, even if it's just for 2 or 3 starts, you feel like those 2 or 3 appearances, you'll have a chance to win that game. It's come down to that, because we've detailed it with the bad free agent signings, with the trades that have backfired. The Cardinals are no longer the smartest team in baseball. And right now they're making dumb moves. And that's how you go from...
And they have for a while.
Yes. And that's how you go from World Series participating team in 2013 to possibly facing last place in 2019. You watched Fowler make an error last night. Harper homered and you chose not to go after him. Genesis Cabrera was okay. Meanwhile, in Tampa, Tommy Pham had 3 hits. And for a moment, raised his average above 300, is nearly slugging 500, and has a weighted runs created plus approaching 140. All of which would fit nicely on the St. Louis Cardinals. But you gave him up for non-prospects.
For depth prospects.
Right.
And maybe Genesis Cabrera, I don't know what he'll be. Maybe he's a lefty bullpen guy. I don't know. But the point is, you gave up 3.5 years of control of an all-star.
Yes.
Of an all-star center fielder. I know he was trending poorly right when they traded him, but he was your MVP the year before. And I know he liked to talk, which the media loved, and maybe the Cardinals didn't. But Tommy Pham, on the cheap, 3.5 years, that trade looked awful when it happened. It looks awful now. Luke Voit... Look, I don't want to give the Cardinals a pass. I don't think anybody thought Luke Voit was going to be hitting 14 home runs 50 games in, right?
No, and I think,
but still, you didn't get anything back for him,
and that's the issue. You could say, hey, they have Paul Goldschmidt. Who would you rather have, Voit or Goldschmidt? Well, the answer is Goldschmidt, especially for the next 5 years.
But what if you had? But here's a fair question: what if Luke Voit was your first baseman making $550,000, and instead of paying Paul Goldschmidt whatever it is, $24 million a year? You allocated that to an outfielder or a starting pitcher. That's the way I think you should look at it. Even though what you said is fair, everybody loves the fact that you now have Paul Goldschmidt, but also you gave away Luke Voit, who's now a stud, and maybe a lot of it does have to do with Yankee Stadium, but you gave away a stud for Chasen Shreve, who's now not even playing for
you. I was going to take the angle, what if you played him, and he does hit well in the second half of last year? Suddenly you have... Maybe you still don't see him as your long-term solution at first base.
You have an asset.
You have an asset to deal for something other than now a pitcher, you know, wasting away in AAA who you don't trust on the major league roster. The moves are part of the issue. The return is a much greater issue. Obviously, these teams who are right now fighting for postseason positioning, who would be in the playoffs now if it started today, they value these guys more than you do, and you need to find out why.
And you mentioned Daniel Ponce de Leon. I just think with Ponce, we say his name, And a lot of this has to do with your draft position and how we talk about you coming up. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like Alex Reyes, Carlos Martinez, Jack Flaherty, even Waka.
You followed them through the system.
We followed them from the draft. We were all excited. I remember when Carlos Martinez was here pitching, they had a Peoria game play
at
Busch.
Yes.
You know, we talk about these guys. We build them up. Daniel Ponce de Leon, that was not the case. We talked about him obviously getting hit in the head, but that's the same thing with John Gant. I feel like we treat these guys differently because they're not the names. You know, you got John Gant and the Jaime Garcia deal, which was a great trade, by the way, for John Mozeliak.
Yes, that was a good one.
If we're allocating credit, good and bad. But look, Ponce last year in four games as a starter, 2.79 ERA, 22 strikeouts in 19 and a third innings. That's really, really good. Okay, and it's a small sample size. But isn't that enough of a sample size? And then add on top of that this year, he's made one spot start, and he threw five innings, and he allowed, one earned run.
Against the Brewers.
And he struck out seven.
Yep.
Who else in the Cardinals rotation right now can give you an outing like that? Flaherty every once in a while. But again, Gant is a stud in the pen. Ponce de Leon has been good in a small sample size. It's five career big league starts. But when your rotation is terrible, don't you give that man a chance to see?
Yes.
My issue with the Cardinals the last couple of years is always, they always either send the guy down or they bring him up and don't pitch him. See what you have. At least wait till the guy fails, right? I mean, keep rolling him out there until you have to make a change. That's what's crazy is you're looking at a starting rotation. The ERA is 4.6 plus. You're losing all these games before you get to the bullpen. And you have options. It's not like any of these guys are setting the world on fire. And I'm sorry. We all love Adam Wainwright, but do you think right now Adam Wainwright gives you a better chance to win than Daniel Ponce de Leon?
I don't think so.
It's at least a toss-up.
Yes, exactly.
And again, a stretched-out Gant, he might be the best or the second-best starter that they have right now. And the guy's throwing one inning in the bullpen, and they never hand the man a lead. So that's the situation you have right now with the Cardinals. 6-18 in their last 24 games after being 20-10 with the best record in baseball on May the 1st. Brian Hoffman, are we doing five for me?
We could do a five for Chuck if you want, but brought to you by Greenville University.
Let's do it.
Chuck, what were your thoughts last night, game one, Blues tied it up at one, and then 40 seconds later, Bruins take the lead? What were your initial thinking when that happened?
I wasn't worried, honestly, last night. I really wasn't, because I feel like the Blues played really well throughout that entire game. And even in game one, when the Blues were up 2-0, I didn't feel like they commanded the game. And all throughout game two, now look, again, if it's tied late at the end of regulation or overtime, you could always lose that on just one fluke play or a bounce, or just the Bruins have the perfect play or a power play, whatever it is. But I just loved the Blues' overall game last night. They took it to the Bruins. They had the desperation. That's the thing that I feel like, especially in the sport of hockey, you hear this all the time from the players, from the pundits. It is impossible. It was impossible for the Bruins to match the desperation that the Blues had last night. The Blues know if they head back to St. Louis down 2-0, it's probably over. The Bruins, of course, they were trying to win, but they know if they head back with a split, things are okay. The Blues just straight up outwilled the Bruins last night, and it showed up on the scoreboard and the score sheet. I mean, they outhit them 50-31.
I'm trying to see if I have an idea here. So I was at the Enterprise Center last night for the watch party. Went to the bathroom at one point. I did not have any premonitions about future success while peeing, but above the urinal, they have a screen, a monitor, and it plays advertisements. And I'm sure they make some money off that. But if you're the Blues, how come the game's not beamed through that? That seems like a miss.
I did see, I think it was Chris Raby threw a tweet out there where Camo X, they had a shot from their booth. So they're listening, and it was on maybe, let's say, a 5-second delay, 5-7 seconds. So they're kind of cheering in the booth as they see Carl Gunnarsson score the goal, and then they pan the camera down, and of course, 7 seconds later, Enterprise Center goes crazy. That was pretty sweet.
All right, number three, Five for Chuck, brought to you by Greenville University. This is jumping ahead a little bit to Saturday night, but over under, let's say 20,500 fans, or what, here, I'll phrase this way. What place has more people in it on Saturday night? Busch Stadium for Cardinals Cubs or Enterprise Center for Blues Bruins Game 3?
Are we talking tickets sold, or are we
talking people in the barn? I'm sure Busch has sold 40,000 for just because people bought tickets thinking it'd be not a Stanley Cup game a mile and a half down the street.
I still think it's going to be an easy call for Busch because Cubs Cards weekend, it's one of those things where when you're buying tickets, let's say at Christmas or whatever, you got Cubs fans coming in. We love Cubs Cards weekend series baseball. Probably didn't think the Blues were going to be in the Stanley Cup final, especially in January. And then you have to also look at ticket prices. And I'm sure that a Cubs Cards Saturday game is a coveted ticket. But when you start to see that the tickets for Game 3 at Enterprise Center, if we're talking, what, $700 for the cheapest ticket, I think you might even see, you know, 2-1 there. I wouldn't surprise me if you had legitimately 40,000 fans at Busch for a Cubs Cards Saturday game.
That's interesting.
Right?
Yeah. You are Oscar Sundquist. You have a 4 p.m. Eastern meeting about the hit that took place last night. Convince him why you should be able to play in Game 3.
Here's how I'm convincing you. Now, I know it's not apples to apples, but the Krug hit got a ton of play after Game 1. And it wasn't to the head, but a lot of people thought it should have been a charging call. Nothing happened there. Look, now Craig Berube said it wasn't because of the hit, but I got to think that part of the reason Robert Thomas didn't play, I know we've heard apparently it's a wrist injury, but don't you think him getting rocked, I mean, played a percentage of a reason why he didn't play in Game 2? So look. Again, if you're thinking about it from the league standpoint, Robert Thomas already missed a game. Is it fair for Sonny to miss a game? Krug didn't miss a game, right?
That's true.
I think he is going to be suspended though. And I'm Oscar Sundquist in this situation, so I'm already expecting to be sitting. Hopefully Robert Thomas is back and ready to go, and you could have a seamless transition if Sonny is sitting for a game.
Chuck, you are the Toronto Raptors. Game 1 of the NBA Finals is tonight. You are at home in Ontario.
I love Drake.
You're favored by 1.5. Kevin Durant is out, and James Capers is one of the officials. And that's important because the Raptors are 8-1 in playoff games officiated by James Capers. Are you taking a 1-0 lead tonight against the 2-time defending champion Golden State Warriors?
Is Capers, by the way, I love Capers. Clover and the Bee has this great salmon bagel with Capers. That's fantastic.
Isn't
is this
that also
Ontario?
Isn't that also in the Larry David sandwich?
Yeah,
Capers.
Capers and Locks. And he tried to
Sable.
He tried to switch it with Ted Danson. I believe Ted Danson had the pastrami sandwich. That's classic.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. Back to the original question, which I basically forgot about. But this Capers guy, I've never heard of him. Is he from Canada or something? Is he a homer?
I'm not seeing.
Is he like
anything.
A Tim Donaghy? I don't want to.
No, he's from Chicago.
Throw that out there, man. It would be hard for me not to take the Golden State Warriors in points. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all have to remember that Golden State was awesome before KD got there. And it's like, oh, can they win without KD? Yes, they won a championship without KD. They have Steph Curry, a top five player in the league. They have Klay Thompson. What is he, a top 15? Right? Draymond Green is playing unbelievable in the postseason. If I'm betting, which I'm not tonight, I've kind of taken a break from betting for baseball season because I like to focus
really?
On fantasy. I just like betting on. I love football and I love college
not
basketball.
Not even not pro basketball. You don't bet NBA.
I did a lot of NBA for the regular season, but baseball. I like to focus on the fantasy. I would take the Golden State Warriors getting points. Yes, it would be hard for me even on the road to take the Raptors at home. I know Kawhi Leonard's been unbelievable this postseason. I still think Golden State's a better team.
Okay, I'm going to do one more just because I like these kind of scenarios. Six for Chuck, I suppose. So the baseball draft is coming up next week, and I think a yearly thing that Jim Callis of MLB.com does is he'll go back 10 years and kind of relitigate previous drafts. We went back to 2009, and Steven Strasburg was first overall that year. Instead, in the redraft, it's Mike Trout. The big miss is the Mariners, who took Dustin Ackley instead of Nolan Arenado, who ended up going number a little bit later.
That's tough.
Here's the Cardinals, going back to 19. They took Shelby Miller, He relitigates it and says they should have taken Will Myers. Now, who I think you could stick with Shelby.
That's not one of those you say, oh, man, we really missed there. Shelby Miller, pretty good. I mean,
yes.
Pretty good with the Cardinals before they traded him. Had an all-star year with the Braves. Tommy John hurt now, but I don't think it's fair to call Shelby Miller. Is it fair to call him a bust?
No.
I mean, I think first round, if he was like the number one or two pick, I still think he can be a good pitcher. Will Myers also, he has not been consistent at all. He's been traded like 47 times.
Yes, he has been. Yes. All right, it's 5 for Chuck, 6 for Chuck. Brought to you by Greenville University. Visit greenville.edu for more information.
And also, it's about that time for a segment we like to call, well, it's not the end of the day. Or is it technically? Because we don't really
have... it technically is, because we're going to the Social House next at noon for the hard line.
Okay.
So we could do end of the day if you want.
On that note, it's time for the end of the day, the Hollywood Casino Press Box edition.
The end of the day.
Okay, when's the end of the day?
At the end of the day, it's going to be tough to tell someone they might not be in it.
At the end of the day, even though there's moments where you're like, I don't want to do this.
If the Cardinals win today, do they stick with the lineup just moving forward, just to see?
By the way, we forgot to get to our guy Lucas, and I was asking Lucas, I say, Lucas, do you want to get in with your takes? And he said, well, he's got the Cardinals lineup. So we have kind of one of those getaway day lineups today as the Cardinals hope not to get swept by the Phillies in Philadelphia. 12:05 Central start. Hopefully it will start on time. Rain delays for both these first two games, long ones. And two righties on the mound, Dakota Hudson versus Jared Eichhoff. Lucas Jones, the lineup is what?
Getaway day lineup, but it's also a little bit of a shuffle. Like,
I think every lineup is getaway day lineup now for the Cardinals based on production, isn't it?
It was pretty funny. I don't mean to interrupt, but when the commish was ringing off names of who's playing well, or who's hitting well, and he mentioned Matt Wieters, your backup catcher who plays about once every 2 weeks. That's what the Cardinals have going for him right now. Lucas.
Yeah, Wong's leading off. Goldie and DeJong actually flip spots. DeJong's batting second. Goldschmidt's batting third.
I then like
you
that.
Have pretty much the regular lineup after that. Ozuna, then Jose Martinez in for Fowler. Wieters behind the plate. Then Jed Jerko and Harrison Bader. And then Hudson pitching.
So Fowler and Karp both with the day off as well as Yachty, correct?
Yeah.
Wonder if Goldschmidt being moved down is a sign of maybe that being a mainstay.
Well, I like the fact that if you do these on a getaway day lineup, you can kind of use the excuse of, oh, you know, we had a bunch of guys out. But it's actually the perfect time to make a switch, because if Goldie goes 3-for-4 with a homer, you just keep him there.
Yeah.
And look, there is certainly fair criticism to go around. John Mozeliak, front office, Mike Shildt. This year, I just feel like there's so many guys on the field that are underperforming. And it's almost like we joked about last year. Would you even care if Mike Shildt one day goes, look, I threw all the names in a bag and I pulled them out and that's the lineup? Because seriously, you have to just switch things up sometimes. I know that sounds dumb, but we interviewed Paul Goldschmidt last Friday, and it was when they made the switch. They put Dexter Fowler in the leadoff spot and they moved Karp to fifth. And there was also the discussion of flip-flopping DeJong and Goldie, and that hadn't happened yet. And Goldie, who's, by the way, just great with the media, he always gives you thoughtful answers. He honestly said this. He goes, honestly, sometimes you just have to change things up. I know this sounds dumb. It's as little as changing your batting gloves, changing the way you wear your socks, changing if you have a wristband on.
And
changing teams. But he said, I know that sounds silly, but it's almost mentally and superstition-wise, kind of like clearing your head and resetting and saying, like, whatever happened the last couple weeks, whether I was struggling or my stats suck, everything's different now. And that's how baseball players think. So I hope that Goldie goes off here and that we see him in the three spot moving forward.
All right, that's the end of the day.
End of the day, end of
the Social House
program, the Hollywood Casino Press Box. So Social House, what, huge hockey show with all kinds
to seven.
Of great pundits.
John Kelly, Darren Pang, Andy Strickland, Tim will stop by, Cam Jansen. Possibly more to come as well.
It'll
be a big
guests.
7 hours at the Social Hot House at 4265 Rivas Barracks Road. Also want to remind everyone one more time about the Schnucks ticket giveaway. Download the Schnucks Rewards app for your chance to win tickets to Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. All you have to do, download the Schnucks Rewards app. And if you have it downloaded already, that's great. You can also register because there's a Win Game 4 tickets banner on the app. You click that, you enter your information, and then that's your chance to win two tickets to Game 4. The contest going on now runs through Saturday at 11 a.m. This is another way Schnucks is rewarding you for simply shopping at Schnucks. From everyone at Schnucks, a proud sponsor of the Blues, LG B, which is about, what, a $1,600 value at this point, mm-hmm. if you look at the secondary market for Game 4?
Love it. And I think text line and Twitter, it comes down to the urinal story. I think it's got to be either the Boston Pea Party or the Wicked Pissed At.
Yeah.
What do you think? Those are the top
two? Those are good ones.
Some of them are very vulgar.
Yeah.
But I think those are the top two.
There was a vulgar one that made me laugh a lot, but we
can't
read it.
I did as well. I chose not to read that one for my future career prospects, if I have any whatsoever. Good show. Lucas Jones on the board. Thank you, sir. Brian Hoffman, thank you as well. I'm Charlie Marlowe filling in for Martin Kilcoin and Frank Cusimano, making their way back from Boston and the biggest win